For the Medical Journal of Australia, I'm Kate Swanell. Welcome to the MJA podcast.
If people are going to be using these things from a smoking cessation point of view, there needs to be guidance from GPs. There needs to be knowledge around, well, is there some potential one that is the safest, the least harmful to use?
That was Associate Professor Alexander Larkham, who is the Program Head of Respiratory Health at the Telethon Kids Institute in Perth. Alex and his colleagues from Curtin University have conducted an analysis of the chemical composition of the liquids used in e-cigarettes. Their findings are published in the MJA and are timely given the change in regulations this month that mean e-liquids containing nicotine cannot be purchased in Australia without a doctor's prescription. As always, when vaping is the topic, opinions are strongly held and hard fought, so any research that can add to the evidence base is a welcome addition to the debate. Alex Larkham is my special guest today. So what could we usually expect to find in an e-liquid? What's on the label?
Well, in terms of what's on the label, not much. Usually they'll have the two main parts of it are the propylene glycol and the glycerin, which is often called vegetable glycerin. They make up sort of 98% of the volume of what's in there.
And what's their purpose? And then,
so they're the excipient. So they carry the nicotine. If nicotine's in there, they carry the flavouring chemicals, if whatever those are in there. And that's the bit that actually makes the aerosol cloud that you breathe in. So the e-liquids are primarily that. Then there's flavouring chemicals, and that can be a list as long as your arm. There's literally thousands and thousands of chemicals that people have mixed into these things. Then some other bits and pieces that we've discovered that, or we've found that aren't really there for any known reason. So some of the chemicals that seem to be sort of like cleaning product type things or derivatives of mammalian metabolism processes. So some sort of contamination during the manufacturing process.
Right.
Things we weren't expecting to find.
Does that mean mouse poo?
Well, don't know. Don't know what it is. It could be mouse poo. It could be any sort of bodily fluid or anything from a person or an animal or whatever. And it's very tiny amounts, but I'm sure you'd find the same sorts of things in a lot of like chocolate bars and stuff as well. So yeah, and in terms of what's on the label in this study, which we did, we actually looked at that in some detail for things like ingredients lists, warning pictograms or text or things like that. And there was very little. Like none of the ones we looked at had an ingredient list of any kind of value. Often they would just have, it's a flavor of, like it'd be berry flavor or whatever, and you don't know what sort of mix of things are making that flavor up. They would almost always have the propylene glycol vegetable glycerin ratio on them, and that was quite often not quite correct as to what was actually in the bottle at the time, close to in most cases. Sometimes it was reversed, and most of them had warning labels to sort of say don't use it if you're pregnant or keep away from children, that sort of thing.
You looked at both new and aged liquids. Why was that important?
The main reason we looked at that is because we were trying to see if the sort of normal vaping process, where the liquid is heated and cooled many times, so each time someone takes a puff on it, they hold the button down, it heats the liquid up to a few hundred degrees, you take a puff, you stop, it cools down again, and repeat. And there's some emerging evidence to suggest that that sort of repeated heating and cooling process changes the chemical composition of what's in there. So things like propylene glycol and glycerin, which are the bulk of the liquid, are known to break down into other chemicals through that process, many of which are far more toxic than the original chemical. And we also wanted to look at, apart from that, it's also looking at whether if you buy an e-liquid and don't use it for a long period of time and it's just sitting on your shelf, or you open the bottle, use it once and then leave it on the shelf for 6 months, does that also make it change? So that was why we were looking at sort of this accelerated aging process to try and replicate that in a faster way rather than waiting 6 months to do it.
Did you find nicotine where it shouldn't have been?
We found nicotine, yes. So it shouldn't have been in any of them. So these were all purchased as nicotine free, as is the law in Australia, and they all had that as part of the purchasing process, they all stated that, and we selected nicotine-free if that was an option on the website to buy them from. And we found there was only a smallish proportion of the liquids had nicotine in them, and it was at very low levels. So it was a step in the right direction from our 2019 study, where we found it was in a lot more and in a lot higher levels. Yeah, that was probably a good thing. It was still there, and it was in 10 to 15% of the liquids had some nicotine in them, or the aged version of nicotine, nicotiring, which indicates that its nicotine has been there in the past and it's oxidized into its alternate form.
So tell us a little bit about some of the substances you did find and how harmful they are and how.
We looked for a range of about 30-odd different chemicals, of which about half of them were ones that we suspected would be in there based on our own research and the research of other people in other countries who've looked at e-liquids before. And we also looked at, included in that was a list of polyaromatic hydrocarbons that we thought might be in there because they're products of sort of combustion-type processes. Basically, everything we looked for, we found they were expected. And our methodology didn't allow us in this instance to detect things that we weren't looking for. So we went in with a list of things that we're looking for, and they were found in them. And every e-liquid had at least one, and in most cases, most of the chemicals we were looking for. There was probably three or four that were most alarming, I guess, if for want of a better word. So we found a whole lot of stuff. So there was flavouring chemicals, things like cinnamaldehyde was in there, which gives a cinnamon flavour, as the name suggests, which has some known health effects. It's one of the ones that's been banned in many jurisdictions, including Australia now with the new e-liquid laws which are coming into play. That is one that causes some known respiratory health effects, even at low concentrations. It does things like impairs cells in your lungs, how they function, so neutrophil function and other things. So theoretically could impair your ability to respond to infections and that sort of thing. One of the ones was benzaldehyde. That was in a lot of the liquids and in quite high concentrations in some instances. And that has a whole range of health effects, which actually one of the ones that's been studied in some detail. One of the concerning things that this does is that it impairs to some extent your body's ability to process nicotine. So if you're using liquids with benzaldehyde in them, which a lot of them do, a large proportion of them do, and it has nicotine in it, it kind of disrupts your ability to process that. So you're going to be getting a higher nicotine dose than you would if you're using the same liquid without that chemical in it. And the same applies for menthol. Menthol does the same, works in the same way. And we found that in a whole lot of the liquids as well. Menthol, while we're on that topic, that's, like I said, we found that in a lot of them. That gives that sort of minty flavor that's quite common in tobacco cigarettes, has been banned in tobacco cigarettes in a lot of countries because of its known, or is in the process of being banned in others because of its known health effects and the fact that it kind of takes the edge off and allows people who don't like the original, like the flavor of things to use a lot more. And that has the same sort of properties in that it impairs your ability to metabolize nicotine.
I'm chatting today with Associate Professor Alex Larkham about his co-authored research on the chemical composition of e-liquids, both before and after the repetitive heating and cooling processes of vaping. The research is available at mja.com.au and is free to access. The Therapeutic Goods Administration says there are currently three pathways GPs can use to prescribe these products. 1, becoming an authorised prescriber. 2, through the Special Access Scheme. And finally, providing a prescription for 3 months' supply via the Personal Importation Scheme. Application to become an authorised prescriber takes only a couple of minutes and is free, according to the TGA. GPs looking for guidance about prescribing a product that is so far unregistered by the TGA can go to the RACGP website for help. The full web address is in the show notes for this podcast, along with the link to Associate Professor Larkham's research. Back to our chat. Anything else that stuck out as really nasty?
One of the groups of chemicals that we were looking for, as I mentioned, was the polyaromatic hydrocarbons. And these are, as I said, products of combustion processes. So they're in cigarette smoke, they're in exhaust fumes from cars and factory emissions and that sort of stuff.
Bushfires?
Yeah, bushfire smoke as well, yep. And we looked for a range of about 15 of those and found low levels of most of them in most of the liquids, which wasn't overly surprising. There are, even though there's nothing on fire effectively, no actual combustion, these things do heat up to quite high temperatures, and there's a coil in there, a metal coil, which heats up and little bits of metal can come off it and things like that. So we looked for these polyaromatics and found a lot of them, low levels, but pretty much all of those things, most polyaromatic hydrocarbons are either known or suspected human or animal carcinogens, which is a bit scary. If you're breathing in these things and getting even small doses of them, they have no safe exposure limit. If you're breathing in any of it, it's bad for you and they're carcinogenic. So that was concerning.
So at the very least, you're looking at irritated lungs, aren't you?
At the very least, you're looking at irritated lungs, irritated skin as well. So from what's known about these things, they're skin irritants, airway irritants, eyes, nose irritants. There was a whole range of stuff that wasn't going to be good for you.
Is there an immunosuppressant effect of some of these things?
Some of them have, like I mentioned before, they impair your body's, like some of the defense mechanisms in your lungs, so phagocytosis and neutrophil function, which theoretically could impair your ability to fight off a respiratory viral infection, for example. And there's been some studies that have kind of looked at that, bacterial infections combined with e-cigarette exposure, and there's a definite worsening of symptoms in people who are using e-cigarettes in terms of their infection fighting off.
Now, you were looking for specific substances. Is there a chance that there are a whole bunch of other substances that you weren't looking for that might be there anyway?
Yes, very much so. So we want to, in the future, do a more of a discovery approach to what's in there. So in this case, we looked at things that we thought were in there based on our own and others' research, but it was a reasonably small list. These studies are very expensive and difficult, and we did what we could. But yeah, that's a limitation of it to some extent, where we weren't able to look for things, discover new stuff that might be in there, or even look at many more things than we had on this list, which is what we'd like to do in the future. Because yes, there is most definitely a load more chemicals in there that we didn't look for, just based on studies from other countries as well.
You know that the people who use e-cigarettes are going to come back and say it's still better than smoking. Is that a view you share, or are you just wary about all of this stuff?
I'm wary. I mean, it's always an argument that we get presented with, that it's better than smoking. And my response to that, everything you do is better than smoking, pretty much. Smoking is pretty much the worst thing that you can do. There may or may not be a role for these in smoking cessation. We'll soon see, I think, in the next few years whether that is a thing. But these devices are being used very prevalently in younger people who aren't using them for smoking cessation, who may or may not smoke at all. One of the main populations is sort of adolescents and young adults who are using these things. And the argument that it's safer than smoking for them doesn't really apply, because most of those would never smoke anyway. Smoking rates are very low in that sort of age range.
What difference do you think the new regulations are going to make to this particular area of the regulation of what's in these liquids?
That's a tough one. The new regulations, in my opinion, are a step in the right direction, a small step. There needs to be many more steps and a lot more research and guidance done. So the new regulations have a list of, I think, 8 or 10 chemicals in e-liquids that are going to be banned when they're sold in Australia. Whether that, how or if that's going to be enforced in any way remains to be seen. How that could be done, I don't know. There's also the issue whereby patients who are wanting to use these sorts of things as a smoking cessation device will need to go to their GP and get a prescription. From my conversations with GPs, most of them just have no idea what I can prescribe, what is safe, what is not, and that information isn't out there. So we're trying to, and others are trying to fill those gaps a little bit, but at the moment it's really a bit of a guessing game.
What would you do, Alex, right now if you had a quadrillion dollars?
A quadrillion dollars.
and could fix whatever you needed to fix. What do you think should happen?
Well, I think it possibly is unfortunate that these things are here to stay for the time being. They're rapidly evolving. People are using them. The banning of them that's been in place since the outset hasn't worked. They're getting more and more prevalent. What we really, I think, the first step we kind of need to do is more of what we have done in this instance to increase or change that list of what is safe and what isn't. If people are going to be using these things from a smoking cessation point of view, there needs to be guidance from GPs. There needs to be knowledge around, is there some potential one that is the safest, the least harmful to use? There needs to be definite tightening up of penalties or regulations or whatever to stop everyone else from using them, particularly young people, because, like I said, that's one of the main groups that are getting into these things. And I think a lot of the teenagers and young people and everyone probably just doesn't really understand what's in them and how it might potentially affect their health, particularly in the long term, because no one really knows. It's not going to be good.
We published a case of lung injury from vaping, and I think we're going to see more of that, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. So I think those sorts of things, there's probably been more cases of that haven't been picked up because they might go to their doctor or the emergency room or whatever, and often they don't get asked, are you a vapor? They might ask, are you a smoker? And the answer is no. So they might just get put down to, you've got pneumonia or whatever it is. The rates of use are going up, so no doubt the rates of adverse outcomes are going to go up as well.
Thanks, Alex.
No way.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts, or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.